Okay, and this should be actually recording.
Perfect.
Hi, and welcome to the 9th episode of the STR Gamer Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Sam.
And we're here to talk to you about...
all kinds of awesome stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I was thinking I would really like to start a broadcast.
Oh, God.
Just stop right there. Don't ever do a search for Rodcast.
Yes, please do not Google Rodcast. Yeah. Actually, I'm interested.
If you're lucky, you'll get a podcast about fishing.
Well, I'm thinking, well, we already have our fishing podcast,
yeah.
But I'm thinking Rod Stewart podcast.
That wouldn't be good either.
Dude, I love Rod Stewart. Who doesn't like Rod Stewart?
Anybody born after 1985.
Well, I mean, that excludes us, but after 1985. I was born in 81.
Yeah.
So, of course, I love Rod Stewart.
That's what I'm saying.
So, people...
we need to appeal to the younger demographic, Sam.
I'm just trying to say, what do you think Rod Stewart is doing these days?
Boinking supermodels.
So, you think he needs some love, too, from the... I guess he doesn't need any love.
That's what I'm saying. He's boinking supermodels. He doesn't need any more love.
You think he's really boinking supermodels?
Yes, he's Rod fucking Stewart.
It's the hair. I feel like he was on some show, like, relatively recently.
Hey, look, I cheated on Rachel Hunter.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know all this stuff about celebrities?
Because I follow celebrity news. I'm a celebrity news slut.
That's definitely true. So what did you do this week,
gaming-wise?
Other than...
To return to the nominal subject of our podcast?
No, I'm just saying, other than following Rod Stewart creepily.
Well, I did do that. let's see. Mostly, I was just thinking about it because we didn't do any prep work for this, and pretty much the only thing I've been playing have been iPad games.
Really?
Yeah.
The same ones?
No. I mean, I've been playing the updated version of Baseball Superstars, which was significantly different and really threw me off my game for a few games, and then I got back into it. And I am once again hitting 480 with, you know, lots of home runs and shit like that.
That means things in baseball terms.
Right? It does, yeah. So I've been playing that. I also picked up on John Davison's recommendation from GamePro, or no, GameSpot, a game called Death Rally, which is basically a car combat game for the iPad. And it controls really well, and it's really cool. And I basically played that for like 24 hours and maxed it out.
Really?
All the achievements, unlocked all the cars, all the weapons, maxed out all the weapon ranks.
How do you play? Like, what's the interface like?
It's a dual stick, you know, kind of game. You know, button on one side, stick on the other.
It's cool.
And yeah, it's super rad. And there's a new update that just came out today, which I'm totally going to go home and play the hell out of once we're done recording this podcast. I'm not going to stay here and play games with you because fuck you. I want to play Death Rally.
Dude, you suck at games anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
Did you end up playing Baseball Manager Pro?
Out of the Park Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did play that, and I have that at home as well, but that's a PC game. And I have my iPad when I'm sitting in bed. So there's actually a version of Out of the Park for the iPad, which is doesn't allow me to do the kind of minute, you know, analysis that I can do with the full game.
And let's be fair, if you're playing that game, you want the most sort of granular,
exactly,
crunchy.
Yeah, I want to be able to click on a statistic and get more statistics.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, so I've been playing that off and on, but I really have kind of I have stared at the icons on my computer. I played a little bit more Blops, but kind of stopped doing that.
I'm surprised you've gone back to that,
dude. That game delivers on a shooting experience better than anything else that I have available to me. So. The Steam Summer Camp sale just started, and the very first day they were like, get Medal of Honor for $15, and I was like, no, fuck you. That game ain't worth $2. Yeah, there's just nothing else like it. I'm actually really, I mean, the latest map pack just came out for Blops on Xbox, but they've got a locked-in exclusive, so it won't come to the PC for 2 months or 3 months, at which point Modern Warfare 3 will be out. So I'm not about to go buy that shit.
Yeah.
In fact, that kills my incentive to buy any of the other map packs. I bought one, but I don't play this enough to make that worthwhile, even for the next 3 months. I'll just play Modern Warfare 3 when that comes out. The big question is whether I'm going to sign up for Call of Duty Elite. And I can't tell you yay or nay. Probably not. It depends on what it costs. If it's a flat $15 for some sort of, you know, access, then great. If it's $45, if they're front loading the price of the map packs,
screw that.
No, that's too much.
Unless, yeah, if they can tell me, hey, this is going to get you 15 more maps over the next year and guarantee me that, then I might do it. But I'll probably wait and see what 1 year of that service brings you. Because I can totally see them being like, oh, yeah, well, I know we said we were going to give you 15 maps, but we're going to get 12 maps and 3 zombie maps or some bullshit.
You know, that's really funny, actually, now that you mention it. In the world of MMOs where it seems like...
In a world of MMOs.
Yes, where it seems like the trend is towards more free-to-play or like modular, you know, buying things in a more modular fashion rather than subscriptions, other companies like Activision and EA are looking at creating these models where you're buying things through a subscription somehow. It's just funny that the models seem to be shifting in both directions, but from different genres of games.
Well, I mean, it's the free to play impetus is totally on the PC. I mean, that is a much more competitive market for that sort of experience. Whereas the console games, the fixed costs for creating a console game are gigantic. You know, even aside from just pressing the discs and getting them into stores. There's a massive investment there.
No doubt.
And so the front end is real important for them.
No doubt, but I mean, you're playing Blops on the PC.
Yeah.
I mean, you're considering buying into their COD Pass or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, what does that say for you? Because, I mean, I know, like, you and I have the same sort of ideas about subscriptions, and we don't want to pay for stuff that's not, that we don't find...
That's not valuable to
us.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm completely considering it only because it is such a good shooter experience. You know, if Battlefield 3 delivers the way I expect it to, then I might not buy Modern Warfare 3 at all. You know, we'll see. Because, I mean, I love the Battlefield games.
All of them, or just the...
Pretty much all of them, one way or another. You know, I liked the original Battlefield, you know, 42 and all of the expansion packs to death. Those were freaking awesome. And even Bad Company 2... While I got in real late in the game and thus was up against some super hardcore players who were assholes, that was still really fun to play. As long as they can improve the hit detection for Battlefield 3 as compared to Bad Company 2, then I'll be happy. And if they can stop giving medics M60s, that would be good, because that meant that they could just snipe you with a fucking machine gun.
That's funny.
But yeah, I mean, it's the quality of the experience that I'm looking for. And so... You know, if Modern Warfare 3 is all that. I mean, I never finished the Blobs campaign. I just was like, this is not interesting.
I think it felt like most people are that way.
Oh, yeah, most people definitely are. I mean, of the 20-some-odd million copies of that game that have sold, probably only 10% of those people have fucking finished the single-player campaign. What have you been playing?
Is that it?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
What have I been playing?
Come on, man, you got to fill this section out, because I don't got shit.
I played a bunch of Rift this week.
All right.
They've been having this huge world event that's been going on. It's been pretty cool, actually. Like, I played through the first world event, which was pretty all right. I mean, it was kind of wanky the way that they rounded it out with the final event for that event. But this one, they seem that they're sort of pacing it out. They've learned from the lessons from the first event that they had, and like taken into account a lot of different feedback from people. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it fits pretty nicely with the lore of the riffs and everything that they have in that game. And I'm finding that... I went in there... One thing that has been kind of holding me back in that game is that I like to do the dungeons in the area... alongside all the other content that I'm going before I go on to a different zone, just because I'm kind of OCD. I was waiting to do the Foul Cascade, which is in the sort of level late 20s, early 30s area, and I couldn't find a group for it. And I was kind of like meh over the game after playing so much of it or whatever, you know, in such a short period of time, and I put it down for a while. And finally I went in, started looking for a group, and I couldn't find one. But I used the looking for a group tool that they implemented with one of the recent patches, and you know, found a group within 20, 30 minutes and went through it, and was just reminded that game does the sort of dungeon atmospheric, interesting architecture and interesting sort of layout very, very well. It's so...
I like it because it's so easy to have people of different play styles in one party, because every class can kind of do a little bit of everything, depending on how you skew your soul. And so that was awesome. And then I kind of got into it again, started playing the world event stuff and whatever. And I think they're doing a great job with that game. I mean, they're really, you know, coming up with their... they're really following up on their promises of, you know, releasing post-launch content and stuff for free and stuff. Plus, they've got, like, free character transfers now, which is something unheard of in the world of MMOs, where you have to, like, pay $20 or something, and it's a premium thing, and then...
Yeah, but how many people do character transfers? I mean...
You gotta figure, in a lot of the games where there's downsizing, there's probably a lot, because people want to go to certain servers where... they're more active and stuff, or maybe their friends and stuff.
Maybe.
But the point is not that. The point is that they've made it free and they've made it in game, like it's immediate. You switch to another server and then that's it. You're on the other server.
And are you unrestricted the number of times you can do that?
I think you do it like once a week or something.
Hmm.
And it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's mute testament to this sort of server architecture that they have that. So many other companies don't have. Like, it's just really impressive. So I was playing a bunch of that. Played a lot more of The Witcher. Been making some good headway in that game. And speaking of The Witcher, I have here a lion bar, which you introduced me to, and I think the writing on it is Polish.
Yeah, probably.
Is this a Polish bar?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a Witcher bar.
I want it even more now.
Don't say I ever never did nothing for you.
Playing a lot of that, more Marvel's Capcom 3, which we've talked about. Played some more DDO. I got in this crazy group in DDO this week that I was doing this pre-raid sort of flagging for this quest, and I was in this group, and one of the guys obviously knew what he was doing, but didn't know how to do it with a party, so he would just zerg on ahead and like
Leroy.
Pretty much, it was a Leroy Jenkins moment, like, for the entire episode, and then we ended up wiping on one of the final bosses, like, 5 times, and then everyone logged out after that, so it was just pretty lame, but whatever.
That's part of the grouping experience.
It really is. It's just a reminder that a grouping experience in WoW, or WoW, or any MMO is only as good as the... people making up that group.
Oh, and sometimes those crazy groups can be fun just for how crazy they are.
Yeah, they can be, for sure.
Now, in DDO, what happens when you log out short of beating the final boss? I
mean, you get nothing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That sucks.
Yeah, you get nothing. That I mean,
truly fucking sucks.
If you're looking to get XP and get it fast, then that's really not the way. I mean,
trusting your fate to a group is not the way.
No, I mean, they implemented shortly after release. They implemented some things that you can get like incremental XP, like by doing certain side quests within the main thing. But your big chunk of 80%, 60 to 80% of your XP is going to be from completing the quest.
Yeah, and the amount of XP you get drops if you have failed to complete it before. So that's like a double win.
Yeah, but I think there's a timer or something like that. That
resets your attempts?
Yeah, that resets your attempts.
I would hope so, because I'd go find that dude and murder him.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, but what can you do?
You can find that dude and murder him.
Well, that is one option. But it's whatever. I mean, it's just part of the game. So we should also talk about this week... Age of Conan finally went free to play, and so I logged into that, and I was fully since my subscription to Rift is coming up on needing a reactivation, and I'm not feeling the urge right now to pay for another 3 months of that. Like, probably 3 months from now I'll be like, okay, I want to play this game, and resubscribe. But I was like, okay, what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy the Lord of the Rings Online expansion. For Rise of Isengard, and I'm going to spend some money on DDO, and I'm going to spend some money on Age of Conan.
That $30 you would have spent.
Exactly.
Split it up. Yeah, that's a good plan.
And so Lord of the Rings Online, fine. I'll pay for that or whatever, and then same with D&D Online or anything else. But I was thinking in Age of Conan, I'm like, okay,
my main character, who's like level 40 or something, that I want to see all the content with. Well, he's one of the premium content from whatever I've seen, premium classes, so I'm going to have to pay for that. So I go in, I log into the game, and I see that, you know, my character slots are locked. So I'm like, okay, how do I buy this? And I click on one of my characters. It's got like a little lock on it, and then it says unlock character. I'm like, sure. And then I click the button, and then he's unlocked. I'm like, crap, how much was that? Like, I don't even know. Like, I didn't give him my credit card. Like, I was freaking out. And then I was like, wait a minute. It says one more character unlock. And I do that, and I unlock my second alt. And apparently you can just unlock two of your characters. So for all intents and purposes, all of the sort of vanilla Age of Conan content, except for maybe some of the dungeons, are all free to play now for me, which is awesome. I'm all about it. I mean, like, even just considering that in the light of deciding what to do with my Rift subscription, I'm like, dude, this is, like, Dungeons & Dragons Online is free, Lord of the Rings Online is free, now Age of Conan, and they're not free in the sense that you can just play them, but I'm all about modular purchasing. Like,
yeah.
Just, okay, I want to buy this dungeon, or I want to buy these 80 levels of content. I'll totally do that over a subscription any day.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That is the hurdle that Rift and WoW and other, you know, pay-to-play or subscription MMOs are going to face. The increasing pressure from other franchises.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what's coming out that is probably going to employ those models is probably Terra and probably the Old Republic. And they're going to have some pretty stiff competition on their hands.
Old Republic is going to get slaughtered.
Yeah, I don't know.
That is going to be so ugly. Ugh.
Yeah, it really does not seem to have the makings of something that's going to make the money that they're spending on it.
Yeah, for sure not.
But then Guild Wars 2 comes out, and it's just
that's an additional pressure on subscription MMOs. It's like, hey, Guild Wars 2, look at how rad this is, and hey, there's no subscription.
Yep.
I still have issues with the core Guild Wars 2 gameplay, so whatever, but, you know.
But you, in general, have issues.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. So,
what's our topic this week? My issues?
Yeah, let's talk about you.
Let's spend 20 minutes psychoanalyzing me. That'll be fascinating.
It's going to take longer than that.
Years and years of therapy. Let's just have 20 minutes of silence.
That'll probably be more educational.
Well, for
than
damn sure, it's
going to
make more sense than anything else we're going to talk about.
We did have an interesting conversation the other day that we weren't.
I doubt it.
Well, it was interesting to the two of us.
Yeah.
So it could have been anything.
We can't be trusted.
About the consolification of different types of games in light of the Dungeon Siege 3 sort of gameplay mechanics and stuff like that. By the look on your face, it tells me that you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to figure out why it's interesting. I mean, the fact is that consoles are the dominant method of playing video games. And so the fact that any and all games that can have a console control layout should, to increase the chances that they can be ported and or lead on those consoles, just makes good business sense, as much as it might piss off old PC gamers like me. I mean, Dungeon Siege 3 hurts, obviously, because Dungeon Siege 1 and 2 were both PC lead platforms. They controlled well, they were cool, and all this stuff. Dungeon Siege 3, from everything I've seen, even the developers said, yeah, it doesn't control very well on the PC. You should use a 360 controller when you're playing it. And we're gonna work on fixing that. Bullshit. I'll bet you this game doesn't even get a patch, let alone a control makeover.
I mean, even if it did, that's besides the point. I mean,
yeah,
exactly. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, it's just and it goes further, deeper than that, right? I mean, the whole consolification, when you design for the console controller, you've got whatever 9 buttons on your controller, or you know,
you got like 16.
16, whatever. That's nothing compared to the complexity of controls that you can get on a keyboard. And so they end up dumbing down the amount of options available to the player because they're doing that. And then that sort of simplification, that's what really gets PC groanyards in the nuts, is where they're just, you know, I want to be able to, you know, press Shift-Alt-9 and have it do my macro, you know, number 30.
Well, let's not even talk about like games like MechWarrior or
Flight Sims,
other sims that you need to have all the buttons.
A fucking keyboard command layout that you overlay over your keyboard
completely
to control. That was rad.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so
MechWarrior 5.
MechWarrior, dude. X-Wing. All I want is a new version of X-Wing.
What is that new game? That new mech game that they showed?
Hawken.
Like, Hawken, yeah.
Yeah, that looks...
That looks insane.
Pretty insane, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... It's... the console control scheme works for a certain set of games. And game designers view it as a challenge to kind of make, you know, make a game like Dungeon Siege console workable. But they're too willing to sacrifice the extra complexity.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really the point. It's like, if I wanted to play... The way that... That if anyone hasn't, you know, played the demo or any of the game, it feels very much like a Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance or what's that EverQuest game, Heroes of Norrath or something?
Heroes of Norrath, yeah.
You know, one of those types of games, or the X-Men Legends games, you know, just dungeon beat 'em up sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the point with Dungeon Siege is it wasn't that kind of game. It's a very grainy sort of and almost sometimes gritty. Dungeon crawler that had really awesome itemization.
Yeah, you love
the second game.
I love the second game. Yeah, no load screens. You know, you're zipping in and out of terrain and castles and shit all the time. The character development was not deep, but it was, you know, it had some depth to it. You know, you had skill trees and shit like that. And it was just super, super rad. This game has none of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the control scheme has a lot to do with... Yeah, a lot to do, obviously, with the consolization of the game. I mean, other than the way that its presentation is very much like an Xbox game or a PS3 game, but I don't know. There's something about the control scheme too that I think it's hard to parse out whether it's due to experience or due to any sort of inherent advantages or disadvantages with the different control schemes that I think that we get sort of wrapped up in. Like, for example, I grew up playing shooters on the PC, but as soon as there were shooters on consoles, like, I played a shit ton of GoldenEye, you know, and from there...
probably sucked at it.
I was awesome at it. Better than you.
Nobody was better than me.
Yeah, you had everything memorized, right?
Yep.
But, so, I mean, I feel like I've played both, so I don't really have a preference for either, except for I've, usually, a lot of the shooters that have been coming out recently have been very, much machine hogs, if you want to play them right, so I've been playing them more on consoles, but for something like an MMO, like, if I were into DC Universe Online or something like that, I wouldn't want to play that on a PS3, I would want to play that on a PC, just because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
But people who play it on PS3 seem to like it.
Yeah.
You know, so...
That seems to be the only success story, I mean, if you can call it that, for an MMO on a console.
Well, I mean, what else are we looking at?
Exactly. Yeah.
Final Fantasy? What was that other game? I can't remember. Another Final Fantasy-esque, like...
Yeah, who knows?
Xenosaga? Was that a...
Got me.
God, I don't know. So
yeah, I mean, it does. It will be interesting to see what the next generation of console controllers looks like, and I'm not talking about the fucking Wii U bullshit. I mean, it's hard to imagine them throwing away the familiarity that people have with the current control systems for Xbox and PS3.
I think they'll be very similar.
I think they have to be.
Yeah.
Certainly if they're going to be backwards compatible, so...
Yeah. What I'm interested... I mean, obviously, I think the PS3 or PS4 or whatever will have something like a DualShock.
Yeah.
360, if they've shown anything between the two systems, it'll probably be even better than what they've got now, but...
Yeah.
What I'm interested to see is if there is more cross-console integration... that will require or at least support the use of a keyboard and maybe a mouse in terms of... Because, like, if all the talk about, you know, MMOs coming to consoles has any sort of weight to it, you got to think that there's people who want to play their MMOs on a console who don't necessarily want to be limited to using a controller to do it.
Yeah, it's a possibility, but you know, at the same time, if you allow the use of keyboard versus the regular controller, then you fragment the audience, particularly if there's any PvP.
Sure, yeah.
And manufacturers aren't. They have shown a historic reluctance to fragment the audience in any way, shape, or form. So,
do you know if you can play Terra with a gamepad?
No idea.
Hmm. I'd be interested, because that game, if any, seems to be one that could actually benefit from using it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I have no doubt there are innovations to come in this space. You know, the Xbox 364, or whatever the hell they're going to call it, or the PS4, those things are basically going to be PCs. And I wouldn't, you know, they will be fully integrated into the home network as the entertainment center. They'll be streaming movies, both from Netflix and things like that, and from your hard drives on your PC, if you want them to do that. So there's going to be a lot of functionality there that they're going to be like, yeah, you know, it's not really that hard for us to do this, so why not just do it? So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. I don't know, I tend to just go to whatever feels better in terms of either a PC game or if it's across consoles. Like, I think we've talked about it before, like, I'm pretty much, like, I really want to play Skyrim on a PC just because that's the way I've always played those games, but, I mean, the 360 version should be fine, too. Same with The Witcher 2. I mean, another, they've announced that they're going to come out with a 360 version, and I'm sure it'll be good.
Hopefully.
And from what I hear, a lot of people were playing that game with a gamepad anyway.
Yeah.
But is that the way I want to play that game?
I don't know. I've got to figure that out.
I'm kind of used to the mouse and keyboard thing, so.
Yeah, Skyrim will be interesting. Because given the sort of gap we're seeing between PC games now, that are releasing now, and what the 360 and PS3 can do, Skyrim is going to look... I'm sure it'll look great on the Xbox and the PlayStation 3, but it's going to look fucking amazing.
It's going to look incredible.
And it's going to be tough to be like, yeah, no, I'm fine with the sub-1080, you know,
yeah,
graphics and shit.
Well, but,
Then again, it's $1,000 to upgrade your PC, and it's like, who wants to spend that?
Well, but unlike...
I do.
Unlike, yeah. Dude, me too. Unlike Dungeon Siege, though, I mean, Bethesda is pretty good at, you know, designing their games either for the console or the PC or both, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so...
Yeah, Fallout was a big success for them.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Definitely. I mean, I think Oblivion got mixed reviews because of the... I think generally people liked it, but because it was just buggy or whatever. But Fallout was buggy like crazy.
Oh, but that was part of the fun of the game, right?
I guess so.
The jank.
I guess so.
All about the jank.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Cool.
Excellent. Any emails this week?
One asking you why you're such a sucky person.
Yeah. That's just my mom.
I was going to say I emailed that in.
Alright, well, send us your emails at
strgamercodcast@gmail.com.
Sweet. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at BrianWP.
I'm at Sominator.
Excellent. And go to the blog at strgamer.blogspot.com.
Yep.
Great.
And rate us on iTunes.
Yes, please rate us on iTunes. I totally was playing Baseball Superstars 2 last night, and it was like, give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we'll give you 5,000 G of in-game currency. And I was like, this can't be legal. I was
Dude.
Like, and so I went to the iTunes website, and I was like, 5 stars. And then for like the review, I was like, I'm only doing this to get to 5,000 G in-game. Because I wanted to be honest.
Well, the moral of the story is, give us a 5-star rating, and we'll give you 5,000 in-game currency.
Yeah, exactly, of our in-game currency. Yeah, and no doubt, Baseball Superstars, 7,682 5-star ratings. So whatever they're doing, it's working.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening. We will catch you on the flip side of the week.
See you next time.